Hey, and welcome to another edition of the Finger Lakes Board Sports Podcast on Finger Lakes One, brought to you by RochesterWindSports.com and the hardworking folks here at FingerLakes1.com. It's August 28th, 2014. 2:01. We're 1 minute late. 2 p.m. A couple more lazy days of summer are left here before the kids come back to school. And if you're a windsurfer or kiteboarder, hopefully the autumn winds start blowing. I'm Doug Willard, one of your hosts here. I'm flying solo today. My partner Jason Gordon is—he's paying his due and he's in the office today. So he'll be back next month, though. Don't worry. To share in the laughs and the adventures that go on here in the studio. If you've managed to tune in, Jay, miss you, brother. See you next month. Good little show lined up today. We've got a guest. Our guest today on the show is a Geneva resident who's she's an avid stand-up paddler, and she's doing her part to take the sport to as many people in the area as she can. That's an exciting thing we'd love to talk to her about. We'll also have a Finger Lakes Coffee Roasters coffee break mid-show. The good folks over there, they've sent us a couple brews to sample. We've got Witch's Brew and Pumpkin's Spice, which is, we've got a little autumn theme going on. So that'll be cool to talk about that mid-show, take a little coffee break from Finger Lakes Coffee Roasters. We'll catch up on any local board sports news that's been going on, talk about things we love in that segment of the show. Another quick piece of news. Jason's been working. We've got Rochester Wind Sports has a Facebook page now. So find us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, and we're crossing boundaries and going further. Related to windsurfing and kiteboarding so far, sessions have been kind of few and far between, unless you're like a light wind cruiser or a beginner in the sport. Natural board sport transition would be to like a stand-up paddle board, which I see around all over the place when I'm, you know, in the Finger Lakes and even up on the Big Lakes, Ontario. So I think a stand-up paddle board would be a good transition. And I guess that hopefully, a little wordy, was a good transition to introduce today's guest, actually. She's our first woman in the studio, which is kind of exciting. Very exciting, actually, and appropriate that we're here in Seneca Falls, home of the National Women's Hall of Fame. Little plug for Seneca Falls. And her motto, our guest today, her motto is Summer is an Attitude. Think about that for a second. And she aspires to get as many people as she can on the water as often as they can. She's the founder of her startup company, Seneca Lake Surf. That's something that's coming on. And she's Bridie Doherty. So, Bridie Doherty, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Doug.
Glad to have you here. I got a little wordy on my transition to stand-up paddling, but that is certainly your discipline of passion, right. Something you love to do.
Absolutely.
And makes you feel good, and makes you feel good to get other people involved, it sounds like. You're a lover of the water?
Every inch of it. I grew up on the beach in New Jersey, so it's... kind of was my sanity at first, just trying to stay wet as often as I could, being in the Seneca Lake area. And eventually, a few people would be out with their binoculars watching me paddle, wondering, what is that? And what is she doing? Are you okay?
Is she standing in the water?
He said, Jesus, what's going on here?
Wow.
And a couple years later, it's, you know, giving birthday parties and running, you know, special groups and working with children with disabilities and giving more lessons than I can keep up with, which is a great problem to have.
Spectacular. I mean, it's certainly exploding as of
absolutely.
Late, the past couple of years, stand-up paddling. Mm-hmm. You being around the water, did that start at a young age for you? You said New Jersey, you grew up. You came to our area at a certain time. Give us a little background history of you and your board sport interest on the water.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where did it start?
Grew up in New Jersey surfing and was a lifeguard on the beach for probably 7 or 8 years all through my teens, and then actually came to William Smith for college. So came up here to play lacrosse and tennis and, you know, could be a two-sport athlete, but then saw campus and being right on the lake, I was hooked. And
so the water played a big role in you coming to the colleges.
Huge role, absolutely. I had hoped I'd be out there a little bit more often. You know, by the time you get to campus, it's warm for about one more week. And it's actually the first day I got to campus, I didn't know the Finger Lakes at all and went like sprinting off the shoreline. And, you know, I'd turn around, there's rocks and seaweed, which I had no idea. I just kind of kept running and tried to play my cool and look behind me. And no one else in the group had run out. And they were like, okay. And so actually my nickname for the first couple weeks of school was Flipper. And I was like, I don't know how how I feel about that, but kind of grew from there and was out in California for a couple years where I actually stand up for the first time, got my master's out there, and but I actually lived in the Pasadena area for 3 years. So everyone's like, oh, California, how'd you ever come back? Don't you belong out there? And actually living in the mountains, loved it, enjoyed the desert per se, and then kind of came back, and I've been in Geneva for the last six, this will be my 6th year now.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So a long time. So stand-up paddling is 6 years ago, 7 years
just
ago,
about.
Kind of caught your eye?
Yes, yep.
Was that pretty early on?
Give or take. Seen it out in California. It was sort of, you know, everyone, all the surfers were like, oh, it's people who don't surf, that's what you do. And really, that isn't necessarily the case at all. It's, you know, a great way to train for surfing. And obviously, you know, waves aren't too big. It's a great way to, you know, get out there, catch some smaller waves. And then in New Jersey, it was kind of just picking up right when I moved back from California. And, you know, again, the surfers were like, get those boards out of here. That should be its own sport. Send them over with the kayakers. And you're like, no way. Not that there's anything wrong with kayaking, but just kind of two different worlds. But I'd say 6 years ago, coming up to Geneva, that was definitely, again, people will come out with their binoculars.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't
like,
on my radar.
What
six years
are
ago.
You doing? And, you know, nobody even really wanted to try it. And now I think actually doing this yoga on the paddle boards has become huge, and that's a little bit of a more gentle way to introduce someone to being on the board, and that I think has spurred a lot of people's interest in it. You know, there's such a big craze for yoga right now.
Mm-hmm.
You get on the board, you love the board, and then that's been a great segue to say, hey, we tried this, can we actually try to paddle on it now?
Yeah.
And I've gotten a lot of lessons that way.
So there's a number of disciplines. You know, you got into it because you liked, I think, first the aspect of riding a wave on it, or training to ride the wave.
Yep.
And then you talked about the yoga aspect then, which is really coming on now, especially with the popularity of yoga. That adds how does that add a different element to do you use still standard poses and things like that?
Mm-hmm.
And then it adds an extra balance piece to that, or you know, or is it even just is it also the surroundings that you're practicing that in?
I was going to say, I think it's the mindfulness that comes with it. So actually what a lot of people don't know is when you do the yoga on the boards, they actually weight the boards down. So the board is pretty,
I didn't know that.
Is relatively stationary. Everybody does it differently. There's a lot of different practices for it. But for the most part, you'll paddle out to, you know, a location that maybe say is waist deep or give or take, then you weight your board down. And so for the most part, your board is stationary while you're practicing. So that kind of makes it not necessarily easier because you're still floating, but it's not like you're drifting down the lake and holding poses while trying to paddle.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a different world.
So is occasionally the paddle involved in the pose, or is it without the paddle?
For the most part, without the paddle. The harder part is instead of being on a mat, you're on a floating moving board per se.
Sure.
So it kind of you know, from my end, giving the lessons and loving the actual physical activity of paddling, I've kind of taken the mindfulness from the yoga and incorporated that into some of my lessons, and that's kind of has built into the beginning of the adventure therapy piece. And sort of taking yoga to, or excuse me, stand-up paddling is, you know, another way to incorporate the mindfulness and get a great workout in.
Sure.
While you're at it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Where do you love to paddle around the lakes? I mean, you're centered in Geneva. Do you spend all your time on Seneca? And actually, before I get to that, when people do the yoga, the sup yoga, sup short for stand-up paddleboard, is it normally an early morning, later day thing because of probably weather, probably need that calm weather.
Absolutely. And I have my certification. I've only taught a few classes in Geneva, but I've actually gone to Toon Yoga.
Yeah.
They run a great, great, great program over there. So Leslie in Canandaigua does a phenomenal job. So that's, you know, they're not necessarily more sheltered there, but the lake isn't as deep.
Yep.
So, you know, there's less conditions to worry about where, you know, I'm coming a little closer to campus, and that's, we kind of get hit from all directions. So there's not really too much of a safe area, not safe, but protected area in terms of wind and weather and all those other pieces.
Sure. So you do travel a bit then. I mean, because Toon Yoga is in Canandaigua.
Yes. Yep.
And I know they've got you're in cooperation with Canandaigua Sailboarding maybe. Or,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they have a really cool thing going
over
there.
Yes, they definitely do. So that's kind of the place for stand-up yoga, and that's the bigger area right there. I'm doing a lot more of just the actual lessons and kind of getting people out. And I myself personally have paddled in several of the different lakes. That was, you know, once lacrosse gets going, it's kind of let me throw my board on my car, drive to a different lake and explore. But in terms of lessons and everything, I'm centered right off of, you know, right by the campuses. Yeah. And just cruise around there, explore. There's been some bald eagles and, you know, more of the nature.
Yeah.
Right around town.
Yeah, very cool. Mm-hmm. Like maybe stuff that you probably even you know, enjoy from traditional paddle sports, like kayaking or canoeing.
Absolutely.
Or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, you mentioned lacrosse.
Yeah.
So I guess we can mention Bridie is the women's head coach for lacrosse at William Smith Colleges, mm-hmm. or Hobart and William Smith. A thing that I get a little stuck on is when, you know, I teach as well, but I'll talk to kids that are recent graduates, say, hey, where are you going to school? And somebody will say, I'm going to William Smith. The young woman will tell me she's going to William Smith, and then quickly go Hobart. I'm like, you're not going to Hobart. You're going
yes.
to William Smith, and that's no
great
slight
point.
At Hobart.
No, but, not at all.
But because that's a great school in its own right. But
mm-hmm.
but William Smith is a school with a lot of tradition. So
absolutely.
And like you said before, that brought you here
mm-hmm.
for the education and the location and the athletics, and so that's cool. You're here now coaching lacrosse. How long have you been doing that?
Gosh, since I graduated, so 14 years, basically. This will be my, again, fifth consecutive year at William Smith, and then I was an assistant coach two other times since I've graduated. So my third round back at William Smith for coaching, and this will be my third year as the head coach.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you.
With getting great young women in and being successful.
Thanks.
So then if you're teaching lessons, let's dive a little bit more into your company
mm-hmm.
or your kind of startup, your vision.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a vision, maybe get ready for the next step. What's it called?
Yep.
What is it?
It's so Seneca Lake Surf, and as you mentioned, kind of operating from the premise of summer is an attitude, and really I think Seneca Lake is one of the, in my opinion, best parts of Geneva and probably one of the most underutilized. You know, there's some boating and that's really it. You know, there'll be some jet skiers out there, but so many people in town, I'm amazed. Either have never been in the lake, they're afraid of the lake, they, you know, haven't really explored something that's literally, you know, is their backyard. So that's kind of my number one objective. Let's get people out there.
It's this massive body in their daily life. They
yeah.
just turn and look, and here's this massive body of water, yet they don't have any relationship with it.
Absolutely.
So you're trying to get people to do that, young people, old people, older, you know, adults.
Yeah, anyone who can be out there. I've had a couple, so I've run 2 weeks worth of lessons through Geneva Rec,
mm-hmm.
and that's been a really awesome way to meet new people in town. And I have to say, I'm yet to give a lesson to someone who hasn't been like, this is amazing, I'm calling you next week, how do I get right back out here? And so I've given lesson to women in their 60s, I've given lesson to, you know, children, I try to say it's 6 or 7, but really just making sure that they're, one, confident swimmers, and two,
yep.
you know, have the muscular strength to paddle on their own. If not, you know, there's been a couple lessons where usually my dog rides on the front of my board, but I've had a couple lessons that
I think there's a photo
put a little
of that
kid in there.
There
we go.
There it is. Wow.
That's Doc. He's our unofficial mascot.
What's his name?
Doc.
Or her name?
Doc.
Oh, Doc. Oh, perfect.
Which I know. So my last name being Doherty is where Doc came from, and everyone's like, oh, you paddleboard.
Yeah,
perfect. I'm like, ooh, that was an unfortunate coincidence, but I guess it works.
Wow, that adds a whole element to paddling too.
Yeah, a little extra balance work.
Well
sure.
done, Doc. So, I mean, where do you come up with? Do people need to have boards for you to give them
yeah.
lessons? Do you have
that's a great,
boards?
I have my own boards. I have 6 boards myself, and then I have given 2 lessons where we've brought some kayaks out. Which is, you know, more, again, just getting people out there. But
yeah.
I do have my own boards, and I'll rent them. My only kind of stipulation with that is I prefer to only rent if I've given you a lesson. So just want to make sure that, you know, they're confident.
Yeah, it's like the deep end test.
Exactly. Got to be ready to go. And also conditions pending. You know, there's been a few people that have wanted to rent, and they have no idea how to read the wind or any
yeah.
of the conditions, and, you know, just want to make sure.
Yeah, there's certainly safety and rescue conditions
absolutely.
That come into play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we see that, you know, with windsurfing and kiteboarding, too, with kites,
mm-hmm.
You know, with people coming and watching the spectacle. I mean, they're fantastic to watch up
mm-hmm.
in the air, and but they're wings, and they're
absolutely,
they'll catch the wind, and something you know, if the right precautions aren't taken, something could happen accidentally. So just your love motivated you to get these, your love of the water and paddling and surfing, and this area has gotten you out, and you've really tried to introduce more people to this. As you and I were talking in the green room before the show, you mentioned a variety of things. You actually mentioned them already, that that you've done, like, birthday parties, rentals, lessons. What is a birthday party? I mean, you know, I'm not saying here advertise your birthday party.
Yeah.
The package includes pizza.
Yeah, hey,
and
we'll take it.
And balloons. And but you know, like, you more or less the concept of it. You gather the kids together, and I mean, they can be stand-up paddleboards can be at their very least a swimming platform.
Absolutely, and that's, you know, with the younger kids, if you know, they're not strong enough to really paddle far, it's usually turns into a floating diving board. And you know, it's great. You see some of the adults, and they're so timid, and their feet don't move at all the entire lesson. And then you get kids, and they're literally running up and down the board and jumping off the side, and you know, they get excited. So it's like you can hold their interest for a while, but you know, I'll joke with them and say, "All right, let's learn surfer stance. Ooh, so, you know, something cool, something different." And they're paddling sideways, and you know, they try that for a little while, and then next thing you know, they're like walking into the back of the board, and they're like, "Can I jump in?" And so, you know, kind of doing what you can to, most importantly, keep it fun, you know, for them. They're not coming for a workout.
So the kids are successful. I mean, it's not, and related to adults too. You know, whether people have had an experience with surfing in the past, or tippy canoes, or tippy kayaks, or windsurfing in the past. How does the equipment, the design of the equipment, keep it from being so kind of break down that stereotype that it's that's tippy? Because I mean, I'm familiar that are the boards wider? Are they longer? Is the shape of the board? Because
it all varies, which is great. I have three different types of boards. Currently sponsored by YOLO, so I have a couple more YOLO boards, and they're great. They're lighter, they're thicker, which is really awesome, and they have the nose of the board is shaped differently than the original paddle boards. Were pretty flat, and so the good news with those is you could feel the lake. With that said, if there was the slightest bit of ripple, you know, you weren't going through any wave, or you weren't going with any of the push. It was whatever the lake was doing, your board was doing. So those were great, but the boards have come pretty far in the last couple of years. And you know, the new YOLO boards, again, they're really light, they're thicker, and then the nose kind of curls up a little bit, which allows you, again, to kind of go with the wave or through the wave, and makes it a lot easier to paddle. And because they're lighter, you know, it's still a great workout, but it allows a lot more availability for different body types and builds to be able to jump out there.
A good is the style of board you're talking about, like a good board for a multi-purpose or a family to have?
Family,
or?
Yes, yeah, for sure. You know, the YOLOs they're wonderful. Again, they're fast. So if you want to get out there and say, "I really want a strong workout today," you know, you can cruise and feel, you know, every muscle in your body getting a good workout in. It's easy enough that, you know, let's say a smaller, lighter mom could paddle it, but it could easily handle, you know, 6'2" dad jumping out there and also wanting to get a good workout in. Obviously, the build of the board is great. For children, you'd want a shorter board, relatively speaking. But, one board you could pretty much get the whole family out on.
They've got padded decks, I mean, you know, in certain spots. And so they're, I mean, really non-threatening.
Absolutely. And that's a... You know, I take 5, maybe 10 minutes before every lesson, and we talk about paddle technique and safety technique and, you know, making sure that the conditions are okay. If anyone's nervous to swim, we'll make sure to either have them jump off the dock and get wet first and sort of say, "This is really the worst thing that could happen to you today." You know, I always preface to say, if you feel like you're going to fall to the side, you don't want to step forward or backward and land on the board, which obviously, you know, isn't going to be great. But for the most part, when you're going out there, the worst thing that could happen is you're getting wet, you know, as long as you're being smart, again, with conditions and everything else. But that always gets a good chuckle out of everybody, kind of breaks the ice for, you know, people who aren't necessarily the strongest swimmers, which, you know, again, would surprise me for how wonderful Geneva and especially Seneca Lake is right there, how few people utilize the lake and are out there and really are fearful of going out to swim. And, you know, I always take time to not necessarily teach, but talk about wind conditions and watching the weather and all those other pieces. So
breaking down barriers.
Yeah, trying.
I mean, you really are.
Yeah, working out of their comfort zone.
Something else you talked about, or I noticed, when we were discussing earlier, you talked about kids working with kids with disabilities.
Yes.
That's a pretty I want to say niche area. I haven't heard many people talk about that before. And what a fantastic experience for that population.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what an eye-opener and a you can do it too.
Absolutely.
Kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
for those kids or adults or whoever. I know that you also mentioned earlier adventure therapy. I had a question mark by that. What is what is adventure therapy, and what's your kind of vision for that? Because that's I think a lot of the souls that do get out in just out in the world, out in our environment, are people driven with that adventure. What a great connection to body and mind. So what are you thinking when you talk about adventure therapy on a stand-up paddleboard?
I guess you could say that's kind of my own ism, if you will. Everyone's like, oh, should I know what that is? Have I heard of that before? Am I not, remembering?
It sounds good, so you know. So keep it your ism.
It's what we're working towards. So that's a passion of mine, obviously, in coaching. You know, you're working with people all the time. And I'd say ultimately kind of my personal mission is to use physical activity to empower others towards self-worth. And so you'll get a ton of people out there paddling, working towards it. We'll see. And it's great. I actually did a class with Be More Than Fit. It's a new gym in downtown Geneva.
Okay, unfamiliar.
Brought out a few of their instructors and, women who are in shape already. And it's great that they're paddling and you can just see, like, this calm comes over them. And they're like, oh, wow, this is great. Talked to a couple of them who took it, and 2 days later, like, oh, my God, my whole body is sore, but you're so mentally relaxed out there. You don't even realize the workout that you're getting. And that's kind of the foundation for adventure therapy in that sense. So it's sort of, let's engage your endorphins. Let's get your body active while at the same time, having this great mental relaxation, mental release.
And
exactly. So that's, kind of coming back to the mindfulness with yoga and things like that. It's kind of my passion would be, let's get out there and instead of having a full counseling session, you're active and, more so releasing your mind, kind of answering your own questions and most importantly, pushing beyond your own comfort zone and getting out of it, whatever it is that you might need to get out of that. So, working with some children with disabilities has been great. I took out one group of women who are all cancer survivors and just that extra push, doing something new, working, in an environment that's safe but challenging and getting a physical workout but a mental relaxation. So it's kind of, combining a lot of different facets, but it's very powerful if you allow it to be.
Wow. I'm in.
Let's go.
Wow. Because, for me, being a windsurfer, and we discussed it earlier, that I've got a stand-up paddleboard, and it's something I turn to when it's not windy and the kids are itching to get out. My 8-year-old, my 4-year-old, so far my 4-year-old, she swims off it. It's a little swimming platform.
Exactly.
My 8-year-old is that kid that you described earlier. We were doing some beginner windsurfing the other day, and we brought the paddleboard along, and he was running from end to end. And I've got pretty good board sense.
Yeah.
But the stuff he was doing was no way. I'm in the water, or I'm falling down on the board. Yeah. There's the windsurfing. That's Owen and Vance. Those two guys spent a day down in Canandaigua, by Canandaigua sailboarding, and we were giving them lessons, and they had a lot of fun. So there's the photos of those dudes. It was fantastic. That's Joe and his grandson Vance.
Oh, how great!
And we've got big beginner boards and teeny tiny little sails that. There you go. And they've been successful, the two of them, more or less from the get-go. I think each of them has maybe been on the water 3 or 4 times over the past year or two, and not for long sessions, you know, yep. because like you said, you'll talk with those kids paddling and mm-hmm. you'll talk some technique and then, you know,
Let's
within
play.
10 minutes. Yeah. And it has to be that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be something that they enjoy at their speed yep. and their interest level. So it's really cool that those kids have gotten out and proud of them. And lots of people, you probably get asked about it all the time. Now it's not just people at a distance with binoculars
yeah,
looking
exactly.
at that crazy girl going yep. down the middle of the lake. So you probably get asked about it all the time,
mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. So, but more or less you stay, when does this stop for you? I know you get busy, but when does the season stop you from?
I have to say from a lesson standpoint, probably mid September or as long as the weather will allow. On a personal standpoint, I may or may not have been out a couple times in a wetsuit, booties, hat, gloves, and my snowboarding jacket on. So that's, you know, I pushed it till probably December, January, and then
cool.
usually it's right when we get back from taking our team to Florida for spring break and mm-hmm. get that little taste of spring and sunshine again and come back in March.
Smell
and
the water.
Without fail, it's the coldest week of the entire year. The day we get back from our spring break, and that's usually when it's like, all right, I'm going. And, you know, I was out there, and my friend was like, did you really have your snowboarding jacket on over your wetsuit? That probably means you shouldn't be out there. I'm like, no, you got to go.
Yeah, well, and even then, for someone who's on the water or often, it's a, you know, for you to get out, that's another kind of rare time when people are on the water. So it's kind of new
absolutely.
To you at the same time mm-hmm. to – what you're seeing. There might not be leaves on the trees. There might be, you know, a certain, you know, haze in the air or something. Because I've noticed that, too, in times that yeah. I've been out in not typical seasons mm-hmm. to be windsurfing.
Yeah. But. I have to say that when I first started paddling, it was a substitute for the ocean. And it almost, by no means was there a resentment, but it was just like, yes, this is fun, but, you know, a boat would go by and I would chase after it as fast as I could to be like, is there a little bit of a wave? Is there a push? And I actually remember one of the first summers that I brought my stand-up board back, one of my friends called and was like, you know, a hurricane had just come in and they're like, there's a swell. I'm like, a what? A swell? We're on a lake? Like, what are you talking about? We actually went up to SOTUS and, you know, threw our boards in and I wouldn't really – it was a swell. I wouldn't say it was a wave, but,
yeah.
you know, we were getting pushed around, and that's probably the closest I've ever come to, quote-unquote, surfing on the lake. But I've grown to love the lake and grow, you know, such a deeper appreciation for Seneca Lake as a lake, not yeah. a substitute for the ocean. And that's kind of come – you know, I've been really lucky. I've really been out every day for the last two summers, 2 to 3 lessons a night, and it's different – every single day. You know, the
wow.
sun's different, the clouds are different, the water condition's different, and even in the hour that you're out there, it changes constantly. So there, you know, there's never really two paddles that are the same.
Yep.
You know, and I get it, you know, people who have kite surf, they're like, you know, again, it's that substitute for surfing, but really it's not. It's its own experience. It's really its own sport. And you know, again, depending on what you're looking to get out of it, can be really relaxing. It can be a great workout, and you know, at the very least, is just a mindful escape from, you know, your day to day.
Yeah. Do you, mm-hmm. the women and the girls that you coach, do they know what you do? Do they know this is a passion of yours? And is there any yep. interest from like college-aged girls and guys? You know, I
yeah.
know past guys on campus too, but is there ever any interest? Do they ever?
Absolutely. You know, my team, we went paddleboarding on our spring break down in Florida 2 years ago, and you know. Not like a parent, but one of those you love it so much that you don't want to push it on anybody else. So I haven't done too much with my team, at least on campus. You know, there's been a couple times where actually one of my players bought her own board. And, you know, anytime any of them go throughout the summer, you know, they'll email me right away. Coach, I went stand-up paddleboarding today. I thought of you. So there's a connection there, but I haven't taken them out. With that said, I've worked with a lot of groups on campus. So, you know, I did our res ed, the Finger Lakes Institute. I'm taking our golf team out for like a team building, kind of team bonding activity. So
cool.
I haven't done too much with my team specifically, but I have worked with and will be working with other facets on campus.
That's a good awareness.
Yeah.
I try to be as aware as I awareness relating to you talking about your team and kind of being a parent and one out of not wanting to force that onto
mm-hmm.
them, because I'm trying to be as aware as I can with my own son
yeah.
and my daughter someday,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to show them, give them the opportunity, but have them want to do it.
Exactly.
And it's hard because it's something I love and I'm passionate about.
Everybody has to love this, right?
Yeah, right. You know, that's so cool. What don't you get about what I'm doing that this is so fantastic?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, ever done any windsurfing, any kite surfing?
So, I actually, if my mom ever listens to this, she'll kill me. But my cousin actually owned a kite shop back in the Jersey Shore, and I had a windsurfer growing up, and unfortunately, it was always too difficult to go out in the ocean, and so it was like a half-hour drive to the nearest bay and summertime traffic and everything else. Yeah. Growing up, it was a hassle to get out, which in retrospect, I'm so disappointed that I didn't, you know, really get out there a lot more. So I have windsurfed. It's been a long time, and I would love to get back into it. And my biggest goal I would love to do is to get kitesurfing again. Yeah. I've taken a couple of lessons and feel comfortable with the kite on land, and I feel comfortable getting dragged, but that's something, you know, working with Brad I would love to get out there again.
FLX Kiters.
Yes.
I know he's done a couple other lessons for people. So that's cool that you've taken advantage of that. It's time for coffee break.
Yeah, sounds good.
Next segue. So Finger Lakes Coffee Roasters coffee break. Okay. Our show is sponsored by, we're really psyched actually at Finger Lakes Coffee Roasters. Our local company sponsoring us, and there's their product. You can see it now, or it's up on the screen. We couldn't be happier to have them. Larry and Bob over at Finger Lakes Coffee Roasters, they've been doing this since 1995, roasting away beans here locally. They're excellent at it. Today we've got seasonally themed brews. You can just see them. We've got Witch's Brew and Pumpkin Spice. And Witch's Brew, as the literature on the company says, it's for the brave of heart, with dark tones and intense aroma, end quotes. Larry over there at FLCR, he comments that he loves to drink this on cold mornings before skiing or before a session down in Hatteras. He is a windsurfer, aspiring kiter. Jim here in the studio just opened the bag, and he's shaking his head. It's it's not for the faint of heart. It's a deep, bold taste. Deep, bold taste.
It's a big smell. You know, you open the bag and the whole, you open the bag and the whole studio kind of fills with the aroma.
Yeah, I can get it over here. We're not far away. Let me have a whiff of it. Oh yeah! Wow, that's fantastic. Now I'm typically, as I know, I'm strapping and everything, but I normally don't go for the bold flavors. I'm more of one that goes for the brighty. Let me pass this over to you. See what you think.
Let's see what we got. Ripped in. That's fall right there.
Yeah.
It's
fall
in the bag. I like it.
It's strong, and you'll be taking some of that home from the Finger Lakes Sports podcast.
Appreciate it.
The other one that we've got is a little. It's a lighter note. It's lighter, and it's more of like a. It's more of like a cut a face in a pumpkin and throw a pumpkin and throw a candle in it. Pumpkin spice, and it really is. Without opening the bag, I didn't smell it earlier. Normally I've sampled these coffees by now, but they got to me late, by fault of my own, and it really is. It smells like walking into like a gift shop in fall, or perhaps like a winery for a wine tasting. And I know I'm going to like that one. I mean, instantly, I know I'm going to like that one. I'm going to have to take the Witch's Brew with a little sugar and a little cream.
Too intense for you?
Who knows? I don't know, but that's a heavy flavor. But,
absolutely.
You know, I don't necessarily know that I represent the, you know, I don't represent every coffee drinker. So, you know, to each their own. But so those are the two brews that we have, and they've got a great thing. You know, they've got a great thing going over there. And when you go to buy coffee there, you can actually try before you buy. I think it's like $2.
Oh,
but, you know,
nice.
They do like a little K-cup thing. Any flavor that you want to sample and see if, hey, I want to buy a half a pound or a pound of this. Because it's an investment, a worthwhile investment. they'll do up a sample for you. And, I mean, you can try it out. And you and I were talking earlier, Finger Lakes Coffee Roasters, not necessarily knowing, everybody doesn't always know, but it's served all over.
Absolutely.
It's served in Geneva at a couple of locations. What were those places you
mentioned? Yeah, we had, I know Opus sells them, as well as Finger Lakes Gift and Lounge, at the very least. I'm sure more places.
Yeah, but. You know, that's what I mean, like you said, it's available. It's available everywhere. It's at select Wegmans's. They have it at a couple of Wegmans, okay. Like their popular flavors. Like they are the ones that brought that cup of Jamaica Me Crazy to you. Whether
so good,
yeah. Whether
it's one
you
of
were,
my favorites,
yeah. And everybody knows it.
Yep.
Everybody knows it, and it is fantastic stuff. And you know, I think I had my first cup of it at like Simply Crepes, the crepe restaurant. They have that one, Pittsburgh, Canandaigua, and I'm sure there are a couple others around. But it's great. We're really excited to have them as a sponsor. So if you can go to their website, FingerLakesCoffee.com, and they have their own retail locations. You can find it. You can even go online and buy it from the website. If you liked what you heard, Witch's Brew and Pumpkin Spice, that adds to our Jamaica Me Crazy and Breakfast in the Finger Lakes last month, and that was an organic fair trade.
Oh, definitely can't wait to try it.
Yeah, so enjoy that. Everybody enjoy that. Yeah, other news. Kind of other news. It's been a slow season. You know, it's kind of when it's not windy, wind-related. Like I mentioned earlier, I had a chance to get out and try to get a couple kids turned on to windsurfing. And you saw the photos earlier of Vance and Owen that were out, and that was really rewarding. And there were a ton of people on the shore that were just kind of watching. Adults, too, that were curious, hey, I'd like to try that.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe the attitude of, look how easy it is for those kids. I can handle that. And it's also kid size. And these guys were, these little rippers were out there, you know, going back and forth, 5 mile an hour winds and having fun. And I couldn't be prouder as a dad, but the good part was they were really thrilled with themselves. Like, you know, and they were really thrilled with themselves. We stopped and had lunch and had all sorts of treats that, you know, mom probably would, you get, you know, no, actually Owen's got a pretty cool mom, but you know. You know, we had candy and we laughed at each other, and you know, we were four knuckleheads goofing around, getting
about
in the water, and it was a ton of fun. What else is going on? I haven't been out in the water much. Actually, you've noticed this one, the Geneva Waterfront. They've been doing a little work down there.
They're reconstructing a ton of it, a whole new facade.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah,
And they've got they did some work on the one of the, I don't know how long the walls have been there, but there's a wall. I don't know if we have a photo of it, but they're one of the walls they had torn out, and now they've laid in like riprap stone. And that's just north of the marina. There's like a little marina.
The new Chamber of Commerce
the new area.
The event center.
The event center. I don't know what we're calling it, I was going
to
say.
Yes, everyone seems to have a different name for it, but it's – and that's only phase one. I know there's they're entering phase two of – they're basically going to build more areas, like larger cement blocks right along the lakefront there where, you know, again, just trying to bring more people down to the lakefront and enjoy, you know, what so many of us value, but so many people take for granted.
That, to me, that is much more inviting, that shot, than a, you know, a straight up and down barrier wall that you know,
I can
go to the edge and, well, you know, there's the seaweed, but, you know, I can at least go to the edge and pick out a piece of trash or something.
Yeah.
But you know, I can get in and out of the water easier.
Yes.
You can get in and out of the water easier. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, reading that their plan for this phase one was that they wanted to get more people, interacting with the water. And, it seems to be going well. Your opinion is it's going pretty well.
It looks great. Yeah. I'm very curious to see, you know, and they're moving quickly, which is nice. There was a point in the beginning of the summer, it was kind of, are we going to get to enjoy this before it's too cold? And, I know their goal is to try to get a lot done, you know, before the fall really finishes out. So, I'll be excited to see.
So people can still get maybe those late summer, early fall, late summer days.
Yeah, and get a little Indian summer in.
Yeah,
yeah,
go down and check
it
out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to come back in the spring kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good. So, hey, way to go, Geneva. I applaud you for that.
They're working for it.
Looks like you're getting this one right. Good work. Another portion of the show, Things We Love. So this is the part of the show where there's, you know, you can just mention kind of anything. They can be board sport related. It can be not, you know.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it on the way down. I've talked about the wind meter that I have. In the past, I've talked about the GroupMe app, actually, that we all use. And I've decided the thing that I love are the people like yourself, but the retailers that are making it possible for people to get out on the water around here.
That's great.
You know, I know there is a handful.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them that I've interacted with are places like Canandaigua Sailboarding.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can appreciate that they've got a an aquatics adventure camp they do.
That's great.
It's wrapped up for the year, and it's whatever the day presents. Mm-hmm. It can be kayaking, stand-up paddleboarding, windsurfing, and any amount of swimming, I'm sure.
Yep.
That they offer, and I've Bay Creek Pack and Paddle or Bay Creek Paddling Center now.
Okay.
Up on Aranacoit Bay, up in Rochester, those guys. And these aren't plugs. They're just, you know, I appreciate all the retailers. There are other ones.
Yep.
These are the ones that I've had a chance to interact with and gotten pretty good service. And I know up there at Bay Creek, they've got a sup cup, they call it, and kayak cup races, I think on September 13th.
Oh, wow.
That are coming up. So they have varying distance races, gag prizes, real awards for races.
Okay.
And so if you're interested or anybody's interested, look
it
up. I think it's a Sunday, and so that's a good time. What do you love? What do you love, Brady Dougherty?
Well, I went with summer for mine, so summer is my answer, but we'll share.
It is an attitude.
Summer is an attitude, a very selfless plug
there.
Right
it
there.
Is. Summer is an attitude.
Summer
nice
as it's coming out. So this is actually
that's a
for
good-looking
you.
Shirt. Oh, wow.
I don't
thank
know if
you.
We're going to knock everything
we
down
love
on
gifts.
The way, but
let's show that logo, too. This is like that bean commercial, like run that beefy bean
yeah,
footage.
Yeah, here we go.
So Seneca Lake Surf Company. There it is. That's the logo. Very creative. Did you come up with that? Or
Actually, John Eads from Veer Sandals right in Geneva helped come up with that one. So
very cool.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much. I appreciate that. I'll wear
yep.
it proudly, and
awesome.
I can't wait
Thank
to answer
you.
When people ask about it.
Perfect.
Okay. Now that's something I love.
Yeah.
Appreciate that for sure. Let's see. Anything else? Bay Creek, I mentioned. We're kind of getting near the end. Anything else for the good of the cause?
No,
I
mean, just come on down and come paddle. Let's
fantastic.
Get everybody out there.
Fantastic. So we've kind of at the end. Brady Dougherty from Seneca Lake Surf. She's been our fantastic guest today. Thanks
Thank
so much
you.
For just coming in and talking. And we're already 41 minutes into
Uh-oh.
The show. Pretty good. Pretty good. So hopefully anybody out there stuck with us. If you want to learn more about what Brady does, you can get a hold of me. You can get a hold of Jason. Look us up on RochesterWindSports.com, and we can put you in contact with Brady while her website and things like that are coming online. We'd be more than happy to help you with that. Remember to check in with us on Facebook if you like. September will be our next show, and Jason Gordon will be back in the studio. So look forward to that. All sorts of hijinks. September will be our next show. So I guess we're at the end.
All right.
Thanks again for coming
Thank you, Doug. It was great. Appreciate it.
You bet. For the Finger Lakes Board Sports Podcast, I'm Doug Willard. We'll see you out there.
Nice.